Will you pray with me? Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are living in hard times, to state the perfectly obvious. We are living in hard times, and we are tired of the word unprecedented. But it just keeps being true. Even now, a whole year after the arrival of a vaccine against the coronavirus, here we are, finding ourselves once again in an unprecedented situation as the virus keeps mutating and spreading in new ways. We find ourselves longing for precedented times. In a time like this, it is easy to lose sight of anything but our anxiety and maybe our anger. In a time when we have lost our illusions about people caring about others, it is easy to just lean into our own sense of suspicion and hostility and resentment. Living in hard times puts us at risk of letting our souls grow hard and bitter and unkind. In focusing on the worst things that are happening right now and the people we blame for them, it's easy to let the worst in ourselves take hold and start to grow and flourish. Last Sunday in youth group, I asked the kids, what has been the happiest moment in your life so far? One of the youth said the happiest moment in her life was when her little sister was born. At the age of 4, she told her parents she had been praying all her life for a baby sister. It was long past the time when her parents expected to have another baby at all. And then, when the little girl was 5 years old, her sibling was born. The one she had been waiting for. The one she had been praying for. A little baby girl with blonde hair. There's a picture coming. Down. It's okay. Down a little bit further. It's okay. There were a lot of reasons the birth of this baby girl seemed like a miracle to this family. And at the age of 13, her older sister still says this was the happiest moment in her life. Is there anything more miraculous than the birth of a child? And is there anything more wondrous than watching a child meet a hoped-for baby? Now, we know that children are not angels. We know they can have temper tantrums and meltdowns. We know they will say no. At times, we want them to say yes. And we know they will say yes to things they ought to have refused. Any of us who have up-close experience of real children do not have illusions about them. Which is why it is such an amazing thing to watch them respond to the fresh arrival of a baby. We love witnessing their genuine delight. It's okay. Down. Take it down. Sorry. Right there.
My apologies.
We love witnessing their genuine delight and their unguarded tenderness. And their unbridled joy. We love seeing their utter absorption. That's a baby Anna with Chloe and a couple of Da Silva twins. We love watching their gentle, tentative affection. We love being there for their quiet wonder. Witnessing these moments awakens something inside of us. Watching a child meet a newborn reminds us of something we adults have found too easy to forget: the power of childlike wonder and tenderness. Dutch Golden Age artist Gerrit van Honthorst invites us to witness such a moment again this morning in his intimate nighttime portrayal of the Nativity. In the early 17th century, at the age of 24, von Honthorst went to Rome, where he came under the influence of Caravaggio. You can see, if you know any of Caravaggio's work, you can see his influence right there. Von Honthorst imitated Caravaggio's chiaroscuro technique, which is the use of strong contrasts of light and shadow. And like Caravaggio, von Honthorst employed a more dramatic form of chiaroscuro, which came to be called tenebrism. And if that sounds a little bit like tenebrae, there's a reason. It's the focus on darkness, or the use of darkness, even more than just shadow. Darkness becomes a dominant feature of the painting. And then the light in the painting is a kind of spotlight that creates a huge contrast. Von Honthorst became so skilled at this kind of painting, and especially using it to create dark, nocturnal scenes with only a single source of light, that in Italy, he was given the name Gerard of the Night. Around 1619 or 1620, he created this piece, Adoration of the Child, an oil-on-canvas painting that now resides at the Uffizi Gallery in Florence. It's reminiscent of the painting we reflected on 2 weeks ago, Nativity at Night by Geertgen Totsenjans, painted 130 years earlier. But in this painting, the night is even darker than in that one. And the focus is even tighter, and the scene is even more intimate. In this painting, there is no stable. There is no ox, no donkey, no angels in the sky, no shepherds in the field in the distance, just four faces gazing down in wonder at the baby. The only light in this scene comes from the baby. His divine light illuminates each face looking down at him. When we look directly at the luminous little baby, we discover that his features are not particularly clear. We see his soft brown hair. We see his little uplifted hand with five perfect little fingers. We see his squishy, chubby baby thighs. But his face is a bit of a blur, at least compared to the others in the scene. He's like a candle flame, where the light coming from him is for the benefit of everyone else, not for himself. The father's face, though, is in shadow. It's still lit by the light of the child. And even in shadow, because it's lit by the child, we can still see it clearly. You can see it more clearly, perhaps, in your copy of the painting in your bulletin. We can see that he is old. Oop. Sorry. Whatever. We can see that he is old, much older than the young mother of the baby. He is wrinkled. He is graying. He's even balding a little bit. And he looks tired, which is typical of Joseph in paintings. But what is not typical of Joseph in paintings? There are happy crinkles around his eyes. And even in the shadows, you can see in the midst of his beard that he is smiling. His face shows a mixture of love, warmth, and joy. The mother's face, in contrast, is smooth, unlined, and quite young. Perhaps a teenager, only a little older than the children standing at the foot of the manger. And she's realistic looking. All of the people in this painting are far more realistic looking than in the Nativity at Night painting we saw 2 weeks ago. She could be a teenager we know today. She looks real. And we know, because we know the story behind the painting, that this young woman, this teenage mother, is living through her own unprecedented time. But even so, she looks surprisingly calm and strong as she kneels to swaddle the baby in the feed trough. She looks like someone who knows something important. She knows that she has a gift to treasure. And she is pondering the miracle of it in her heart. But most striking in this piece is these two children. Both of them bow towards the baby. One has his hands crossed over his chest in a gesture of humility and affection. He looks like he just wants to cuddle that chubby little baby. The other one has his hands in a gesture of prayer, as if he's giving thanks that this one who has been hoped for, longed for, and prayed for has arrived. Both of them seem completely swept up in this child. They are immersed in his light and in his arrival. They are enchanted, captivated, and full of tenderness and affection for this baby. You look at them and you can imagine them giggling as they count his little fingers and toes. You can imagine them gasping at how tiny he is. You can almost hear them singing their favorite lullabies to him. The light of the Christ child gleams in the eye of the child that is closest to us. And it looks like there might even be a tear in his eye, and maybe even one sliding down his cheek. When I first saw this painting, I couldn't remember children in the Nativity story. And so I figured that they were young shepherds who had just gotten to the stable ahead of the grown men shepherds. They were just faster. But if you look in the shadows, and it doesn't really show up in your copy or on the screen, but in real life in the painting, if you look in the shadows, you can see behind them, just barely, the outline of wings. These aren't young shepherds or neighborhood children. These are angels. These are angels come down from heaven to see that which heaven could not hold. God in the flesh. These are angels come down from heaven to worship and adore him, and yes, to sing over him. These are angels looking just like regular children, even though we know regular children are no angels. Their presence at the foot of the manger doesn't correspond to anything we read in Luke, yet their inclusion in this quiet, tender, intimate scene shows us something beautiful and true. The power of heaven sometimes shows up looking like a child, looking like tenderness, gentleness, and affection. The glory of God sometimes is made most real when childlike wonder is expressed. And something in us needs to wake up to that, wants to wake up to that, will wake up to that if we pay attention. In her song, Stay Gentle, singer-songwriter Brandi Carlile gets it right. She sings, stay gentle, keep the eyes of a child. Don't harden your heart or your hands. Know to find joy in the darkness is wise, although they will think you don't understand. Don't let the world make you callous. Be ready to laugh. No one's forgotten about us. There is light on your path. Stay gentle. Keep the eyes of a child and wear your heart on your sleeve. Know to find joy in the darkness is wise, although they will think you are naive. Don't let them lower your shoulders. Love them more while they try. Grow younger while you're growing older. Be amazed at the sky. Darling, stay wild if you can. The girl with the world in her hands. The kingdom of heaven belongs to a boy, while his worry belongs to a man. Stay gentle. Stay gentle. The most powerful thing you can do, O gentle, unbreakable you. She gets it right. And during hard times like these, it would be so easy to let go of any attempt at staying gentle. It would be so easy to let go of any attempt at cultivating a sense of tenderness towards others and wonder at the gift of others and of our world. It would be so easy to instead just let a gnawing sense of anxiety and anger take hold. It would be so easy to give up looking for others to be good and to be kind. It would be so easy to refuse to be vulnerable by showing goodness and kindness ourselves when we don't expect it in return. It would be so easy. But we aren't here for easy. We are here for hope, for peace, for joy, for love. We're here for the things that matter. We are here for truth that came wrapped in baby flesh. And is there anything more vulnerable than that? The miracle of Christmas is not that love arrived once and for all and fixed everything. The miracle of Christmas is that love still keeps arriving. When we have the eyes to see like a child, we'll see it. The miracle of Christmas is that love still seeks to be born among us. The miracle of Christmas is that love has not given up on us. And we must not give up either. We can't give up. Stay gentle. It's the most powerful thing you can do. The power of heaven is in it. Stay gentle. Be tender. And get ready, because Christ is ready to be born again among us all.